4 DJW Mobile.
PNG, stationary. How's it going?
Just going out to pick up some grub. How you doing?
It got to the point where it wasn't too wet or too cold that I couldn't work on the car a bit more. Took me all day to get the damn thing started. Had to swap the battery out for a battery I had in the Ford F-150. I'm guessing the Ford F-150 is not going anywhere anyway. That's the problem with all these vehicles you buy at auction. There's always some fatal flaw in them somewhere. This one seems to be okay. This one's a 2014 Ford Taurus Police Interceptor. So let's see, I gotta take out the door panels and put in panels with door handles so the backseat passenger can get out of the car. I gotta take out those plastic jail seats and put in the regular seats. And, you know, whatever else I gotta do. I took the metal plates off the rear window. And I don't know if I want to take out that partition or not.
I used to get those when he was down here, those police cars, ex-police cars. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of miles they got on, but that one still drive good.
This one has 112,000 miles, which isn't all that much even for a normal car. Now, you got to understand, the police interceptor version is beefier. You know, it's got the bigger radiator and the bigger cooling fan. It's got the oil cooler. It's got the transmission cooler. It's got the bigger brakes. It's got the 220-amp alternator. So these things were designed for hard driving. Actually, they were designed for short trips, stop-and-go driving, city driving, and long periods of idling, which is why I think I'm going to take this up north and sell it as a cab car. For some taxi driver wants this, I'm sure.
North like cars from down here because they don't have any salt on them. No, I mean, especially if the car's been down here all its life, they don't have the issue with the rust for the year model that it is. That's a good idea.
Taxi cabs have the same kind of use. Start and stop driving in city traffic. A lot of idling, waiting for customers to load or unload or whatever the hell goes on. So, police vehicles and taxi cab vehicles. You know, the other one that was for sale, there was one of them, was a 2011, I guess the last of what do you call them? The Crown Victorias. The police version of the Crown Victoria, which is also a popular cab car.
At Crown Vics, I thought that was a long time ago. I don't keep up with what they're doing now. But I knew they used to use those at one point in time a whole lot. They like the Crown Vics.
That was from 2011, which is the last year that Ford made the Crown Vic. Let's see, even the Taurus was discontinued, I think, just like maybe 3 years ago. I guess now they got the Fusion, whatever they got. I never liked either one, either the Crown Vic or the Taurus. It's a big, bulky car, but somehow it has lousy interior room and lousy visibility. The Taurus almost represents every single automotive mistake that Ford ever made. But they were popular. Ford sold a lot of them. You know, but the same characteristics to make a good taxi cab, make a good police car. You know, other than being able to go 130 miles an hour down the highway, which I'm sure it could also do. So I'm going to take this to New York City and sell it. See what happens there. I might get $3,000 or $4,000 more.
See what the attraction to the Taurus was. A buddy of mine at B of A had one of those. And in fact, I stayed with him for a while. I was, instead of coming back and forth every day. But anyway, he was a Canadian. But he liked the Taurus. He liked his Taurus.
From the 90s was an ugly cuss. It was this boxed off, squared off thing. In the late 90s, they rounded it off a bit more, but it was still ugly. The 2000s, 2010, whatever, they restyled it again. But again, it's still, if you're inside it, it has lousy visibility. in spite of the fact that it's a big, bulky car, it doesn't have a whole lot of leg room or head room or anything else. So it's like, where does all the interior room go? And, you know, so, but, you know, again, Ford made a lot of them. They sold a lot of them. So people liked them. I don't really know either why they liked them. As I said, it's kind of like, it's sort of like every automotive design mistake Ford ever made, all in one car. But, you know, that and the Crown Vic was much better. But the Crown Vic was a very, very, very popular taxi cab and livery car for years. And it was, you know, the Crown Vic Police Interceptor was a very popular police car for years. I will say one thing about both cars is they have an enormous amount of truck room. So if you're on the airport run, you're taking people to the airport, you got room for all their luggage.
That was all about why they liked them. But I guess everybody's different. But I didn't like them either. It sounds like you didn't like them much either. Anyway, I'm at home. I'm going to go in here and chow down. I'm kind of hungry. Kind of late to eat supper. Anyway, good talking to you. Good luck with that. Getting that car put back together the way you want it and offloading it to some taxi cab company in New York. Good to talk to you, Glenn. KD2BNG, W4DJW.
Yeah, that take out the shotgun rack and I'm good. Anyway, 73s, I'll talk to you later. Okay, mobile. KD2BNG, good evening. Not bad. Yeah, you know, it's hard to work outside when, you know, it's cold and it's rain. I don't like either one. When it gets about 50 degrees or below, my muscles freeze up. Now, I was just trying to work on a car that I bought, and I thought it should be easier.
Back to there, getting off the freeway. So what kind of car are you working on?
An auction in Pelzer. It's a 2014 Ford Taurus Police Interceptor. It's a good car. Runs well. You know, the thing about municipal and government fleet vehicles is they're usually pretty well maintained. But, you know, I'm going to try to put back the regular rear seats and the regular rear doors and maybe take out that metal partition. And I'm going to take it up north and sell it as a taxi cab. A lot of taxi cab drivers love a car like that.
Yeah, I imagine you probably make yourself a few bucks on that deal right there.
Maybe, I only paid like $2,300 for the thing. I could probably sell it for $6,000 or $7,000 right now. And if I took it up north, probably $3,000 or $4,000 more than that. Because, you know, the police interceptor model was beefier. It had that oil cooler and that transmission cooler. It had the bigger brakes. It had the 220-amp alternator. It was designed for, you know, low speed, stop and go city driving, a lot of idling, that sort of thing, which is the same usage pattern that taxi cabs have. So some New York City cab driver is going to want to back door panels to the, you know, in a police car, the doors don't normally open, so you got to put the regular door panels. You got to put the regular rear seats, which I have. I can put them back in. And I don't know if I want to take out that steel partition or not. A cab driver might want it that way.
Bonus if you're trying to sell it to a cabbie.
The deal plate that goes up to about, you know, the top of the seat back. And then above that you have plexiglass and steel mesh. And the plexiglass even wraps around the sides. So, you know, if you're trying to get an edged weapon or a spear or something in there to stab the driver, strangle the driver, you're not going to be able to do it. Well, it's not going to stop a bullet, but, you know, cab drivers always used to worry about that. They used to get robbed a lot. Maybe now less so than it's all credit cards, but still.
Trucks take cash anymore.
The New York City cab drivers, I don't think you can pay them in cash. Now, okay, if it's a livery cab, because I used to run a livery cab, those trips are usually prepaid. So the customer calls in and they phone in their debit card or credit card. If you want to leave the driver a tip, I guess you can give him a couple of 20s. But now the regular street cabs, even those, they don't even want cash. They have a credit card reader, you know, tap your credit card reader to pay your fare, you know, that sort of thing. They don't even really have any cash left. Probably for that reason. You know, it's too easy to rob a cab.
Running around, that's for sure, so. Well, good. Sounds like you're on the right track anyway. I think I'd leave that partition in if you were going to try and sell that car to a cabbie. But, you know, if they don't want it, then they can take it out. But I bet you most cabbies will want to keep it.
Right. Just for that reason. Try to take out the shotgun rack. I'm going to leave the shotgun rack in there. There was this vertical bar, you know, with clamps on it, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I look down, and I see these two holes, like, you know, the size of a rifle butt. Oh, okay, that's what that is. That's the shotgun rack, which I'd leave it and use it myself if I had the key to it. But, so, yeah, I try to, I think it would sell for more money up north than I think it would around here. And it's one of the few cars I've ever gotten at a damn auction, which wasn't a total lemon. I've had my share of, where I've had to replace transmissions and things like that.
Well, that's the worst part about the auction is you don't really know for sure. But, I think you can come out ahead on that one.
Sure, and there isn't necessarily even any good way to tell. I mean, you could go down a couple of days beforehand and look at what's there and start it up and listen to it, and you can't really drive it or, you know, what can you really do with it? So, it's just a question of, I don't have good luck with motor vehicles. I always seem to pick the ones that have some kind of problem. But, yeah, I had to replace the battery in this one, but other than that, it's fine. You know, I don't know how the hell I got it here. The guy at the auction lot was able to jumpstart it for me. As soon as I turned it off, it died. But, you know, that was just a battery thing. So hopefully now we got a reasonably good car.
All right, Glenn, listen, I got to hop off here. I got to run into the gas station here and pick up a couple things and get some gas. I'll be off the air for just a couple minutes. If you're still around, I'll holler back out. NT7J Mobile.
Hey, KD2VNG, okay. 73s, and we'll hear you later.
Yeah, I'll just be a couple minutes. I just want to get some gas and get a couple soft drinks. Catch you in a little bit.
B4 CPA Mobile.
KD2VNG, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. I went to my oldest grandson's basketball game, and it was I don't know why they have a tournament at the beginning of the season, but I guess it's like a preseason thing, and they start back in January. But anyway, so it was like a double elimination. So anywho. So I'm just headed to the house. I'm over here in Powdersville, headed back to Taylor's.
At least you still got, you know, family that you got that you're still close to and you can still see. How easy is it to get I gotta get the rear seats out of a car and replace them. That shouldn't be too hard, right? It's a couple of bolts. And then just, you know, figure out where the seat belts are fastened to.
Is it?
14 Ford Taurus Police Interceptor. I got to take out the plastic jail seats and put back the regular seats, which actually were in the trunk. I also got to find someone who has the left and right rear door panel, you know, with a handle where you can open the door. Because if the rear seat passenger can't get out of the back, that's kind of a problem.
When I worked for the county, we had to cut those off on both sides of the the back doors on the out on the inside, so the prisoner couldn't get out. Once you closed that door, that was it. You weren't getting out unless you broke the glass out.
That's what the metal plates are for. Only thing I've managed to do so far is I took out the metal plates over the rear window. But yeah, nowadays it's just a completely smooth door panel that has no controls on it whatsoever, no handles anywhere, or no buttons or anything else. So I just called around to a few chop shops to see if they have the, the regular Ford Taurus, left and right rear door panel. It doesn't necessarily have to have the locking switch or the window switch. But at least it has to have the door handle.
Have you tried LKQ? Lima, Kilo, Quebec?
It has them for 150 or 165 or somewhere in that area. So 300 or 350 for two of them. And I'm sure they'll, I don't know what they cost, what the shipping charge is going to be. I was actually looking locally. I got this one guy I do business with locally in NRE. But yeah, I'll look there as well. It's not a big, hurry or ass up project. Got to get done now. But yeah, just, put the regular door handles back in and put take out the plastic jail seats and put the rear seats actually were all in the trunk. The three rear seats. So just put those seats back in. And whether I want to take out the partition or not, take out that steel partition, I'm not even sure if I should or not.
Well, yeah, I can't remember how the seats come out of the Taurus. There's either a little lever that you move, and there's one on the left side of the seat, there's one on the right in the front of the seat bottom, and you can feel it. Just reach underneath it and run your fingers across the carpet and you'll feel it. Or it just push it. You just push it in back toward the back of the car and you can pop it up, one of the two. And then the back seat probably just has a couple of bolts in it. And you're done.
Four bolts in the front and four in the back that hold in the plastic jailhouse seats. And I'll figure out how the seat belts are attached. That can't be that.
That's it.
Yeah. And I have the seats put back in there. The left, right, and middle rear seat were actually in the trunk, which I guess that's the thing people liked about the car is that enormous trunk.
And I think the seats, don't they fold, on the back seats, the seat backs, don't they lay down if you want to haul something that's long, you can put it in the trunk and slide it through there?
Back seats right now are folded down, so I guess, yeah, you can. I guess that was the only good thing about the Taurus. I'm not a Ford person, and I don't really... The Taurus was one of their least... The Taurus is like every automotive design mistake Ford ever made, all in one car. I never liked that car much. It was this boxy and bulky and ugly thing back in the early 90s. They rounded it off a bit in the late 90s. They changed the styling around in the early 2000s. But still, it's bulky. In spite of that, it doesn't have a lot of interior room, and it's got lousy visibility, so I was never a fan of it. But, Ford made a lot of them.
For CPA Mobile. Yeah, they did, and I used to work on them. I worked on them when they came out in 86, and they had a lot of problems with The fuel pumps and the fuel sending units, which was all the one unit, and I bet I replaced 400 or 500 of those. I got really good at and you had to drop the tank. I got really good at that. I did so many of them, but anyway. But we actually owned a 96 Taurus. It was a good car, and we gave it to our daughter, our oldest daughter, and let her drive it to college for a year or two. And I think we sold it after that. She got something else. I think she got a Honda, but she bought that herself.
Fuel flaw, which I didn't know about until after I'd already bought the thing. I bid on it in the auction. For that range of years, 2013 to like 2019, the 3.5 and 3.7 liter engine, the fuel pump is inside the, wait, what am I saying? The water pump is inside the engine housing. It's driven by the timing gear. So, if the water pump ever leaks, guess what? You've got coolant going into the crankcase and mixing with the oil. Very, 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 very bad. But I don't see chocolate milk in the oil, so I guess I'm okay.
Terrible design. I never worked on them that new. Because I was working on Mazdas. Been a Mazda dealership, and I just never had the opportunity to tear into a Taurus. I mean, if one came in the door, I'd work on it, but, you know, I'd work on whatever came in the door, but that's what we were required to do, but anyway, but that's interesting. Yeah, there were several designs like that. The Ford did. They ran a coolant hose under the intake on the 4.6 liter, and it would burst, and then you'd have to pull the intake to change it.
It did the same thing. Infiniti, that's Toyota, right? Because my neighbor has a 2003 Infiniti some damn thing, where Toyota did the same thing. The water pump is inside the engine housing. So now it's supposed to be inside of another housing, so if it leaks, the water gets drained into some other channel. But still, you've got the same thing. You know, water going into the engine oil. And I'm guessing that will destroy the engine very, very, very fast if you don't do anything in time. Now, oil in the water, it looks like, almost like chocolate milk, or what's the sign of oil in, because I don't think I saw it when I looked at the car before I picked it up. But oil in the water, or no, water in the oil looks like, I guess, like chocolate milk or something. I haven't really seen it.
Oh, that's one thing you can look for in the oil cap. You can take the oil filler cap off and turn it upside down and look at it, and there'll be a milky substance inside the cap there. And that's always a dead giveaway, and there are, you know, other things too, but if it's gotten that bad, it's probably done some damage, to the mains, and I wouldn't want to buy it.
Look at the oil filler cap, but I looked at the dipstick, and the oil was at the proper level, and it looked like oil. You know, maybe slightly dirty oil, but that's fine. And it didn't smell like, usually coolant has that slightly sweet smell to it. I mean, I even tried to smell the oil, and it didn't smell like it was. So, you know, I'm guessing it's okay. Only after I'd already bid on the car and bought it. And I'm like, oh, frack. You know, it was on the 3.5-liter Ecotec engine and the 3.7-liter engine. Now, you know, Ford bad design error number 9003. You know, the water pump inside the engine housing.
Can't say I've ever heard of that. I mean, I've changed a lot of water pumps, you know, that are run by the timing belt. But I've never seen one that would leak down into the oil itself. But anyway, so that is kind of interesting. But not surprised. Nothing surprises me anymore like that. It's just, anyway, design. Design flaws. Well, I got my wire from my antenna, and I just need to hook it up to my Ballon, and I'll be ready to shoot that thing back up in the trees.
This car would be good for. I could put a lot of radios in this car, because you've got that center console with all that extra cabling. There was the cabling for computer systems and the lights and siren and all these other things. That's why the normal Ford Taurus, the shifter is on the floor. The police interceptor, they put it on the column, because you keep the center console with all the rest of wiring through it. So, yeah, it'd be a good car to put a couple of radios in.
In the day when they used Crown Vicks as their, you know, their choice of police cars, I used to put radios in them, you know, the lights, everything, the cage, the shotgun rack, and they had a wire, a real heavy gauge wire that came in, two of them, one on the driver's side, and it was it had three places where you could tie into it, and it was only hot with the switch on. And then there were three on the passenger side, and they were hot all the time. So you had plenty of places, you know, to put your charge your radio, your flashlight, stuff like that. And of course, now this was back before they put computers in them, so you know, I didn't have to fool with any of that.
A rat's nest of wiring in the center console. Okay, I see like two VGA connectors, USB cable, and like two or three like RJ45 network cables. I see one thing that looks like an antenna cable, a little spaghetti coax with like an SMA connector on it. And the rest of the cabling, some of which was cut out, I guess part of that was the lights and sirens. And, of course, you know, there's power cabling. So, as I said, if you wanted to put two or three or four radios in there, you probably could. Although, I only see one antenna.
Four CBA. So, where did you buy this car? Where was the auction?
Well, Jeff Martin Associates, and the auction was down in Pelzer. That's their main auction a couple of times a year, at least in this area. They have auctions all over the country. I think they're based out of Mississippi. I've gotten other cars from them. I've gotten that the 2005 Silverado, which is actually not a bad truck. I had to replace the transmission, but it only cost me $300 for a pole and another $300 or $400 to put it in. And I got it for only like $2,000, so I'm not behind that far. I have a Ford F-150, we'll see about that. I have a Saturn Aura, which, again, has some undefinable transmission problem, you know. But, you know, the Ford police car I think I'll make money on. That may make up for some of the sinkers.
That's all I can say. Oh, me. I don't know that I would want a police car, because, you know, they idle so much, and they don't have an easy life, so most of them anyway, and, you know, I just wouldn't want to fool with one.
Supposedly Ford designed around that. Some degree. You know, the special engine control program, which is designed to minimize the impact of too much idling. How it does that, I don't know. But, you know, the oil intercooler, the transmission intercooler, you know, the big-ass fan and big-ass radiator for the engine intercooler. Let's see, what else? The beefier electrical system, you know, the beefier brakes, super suspension, electronic suspension, which is designed for pursuit driving, and also the engine control program is designed for high power, high output, high torque. So, all the good features that you would also want in a cab car, except you also don't have to go 130 miles an hour down the road, which it'll do. I'd love to be able to test that, but I don't want to. Supposedly it'll do 130 miles an hour, which you don't need in a cab car, but all the other features are good.
Bagging my feet in case somebody wanted to jump in. I worked on one of the Chevrolets. Back when they were black and silver, this is going way back to the, I think it was about a 90 Chevrolet, you know, Caprice, and it was a police car, and the officer came in. He's still working for the county. He just got promoted to lieutenant. But anyway, he came in one day complaining that it started cutting out at 125, and so I took it out on 85, and sure enough, it did start cutting out at 125 miles an hour.
There's also a police version of the Caprice Classic, because I guess after the Crown Vic disappeared, they had a scramble to find a new one. So the Ford Taurus police one, and there's a Caprice Classic police version. Yeah, I forgot about that. And now the Taurus is discontinued, so I think there's a Ford Fusion police version. But, you know, as I said, the police version is, I think, what a New York cab driver would want. Oh, and by the way, the decal on the side, it's car 54. I figured that was going to be either lucky or unlucky. This is car number 54.
To me. Well, so you found it, because that's the name of the show, is car 54, where are you? So, oh, me. That's pretty good. Well, I'm going to jump out of here, Glenn. I'm getting ready to pull in the driveway and get on in the house there and, you know, settle down with the wife, sit down with the wife for a few minutes and probably watch some TV before I get to bed. But anyway, but I enjoyed the Kiso. Thanks for the ride home. And you have a good one, and we'll talk to you later. I'll stick around for your final. KD2BNG, KB4CBA.
KBA, KD2BNG. Yeah, Car 54, where are you? I think that was actually the name of the show, starring the guy who was later to be Herman Munster. But, all right, you 73s, you have a good day, and we'll talk to you later. KD2BNG, and I'll be...
J, K, and 4, BWA. Seven J, K and 4, BWA. 3-8. Monitoring.